Here we go. Final seconds.
Clutch is his name. Talking sports is his game.
End zone. Touchdown with no time left.
Pushing the limits.
They win on the last play of the ball game.
There are no limits.
Are you kidding?
Who can you count on to make the last throw or shot?
Wow, and the game is over.
Mikey Clutch. This is the final play.
Unbelievable.
And we are more than halfway through the season. It's kind of depressing when we get to this point in the NFL season. And then after Thanksgiving, which is in a few weeks here, things just really go quickly. And then before we know it, it's playoff time. It's week 18 where teams are playing for the division. A lot of up in the air. But good show. It's probably going to feel like a wonky show today, so bear with me, okay? But week 10 underway. We'll get into the Thursday night game. I'll touch a little bit quickly, rapidly, on the trade deadline madness that happened over the past week. I'll touch on the Bears, touch on the Niners, give you games to watch. Now, I probably won't go into depth this week on the games to watch. I'll just touch on those quickly as well. And then we will get into the debt-free pick three. Ding, ding, ding. Cue cash register effect. We are off another winning week. 2-1 last week. But yeah, we'll get into those picks that really matter and keep that bank account just making money. Making money. But, you know, at this point of the season, you really kind of have a feel for what teams are. And the Denver Broncos are a damn good team. Kind of helping rally behind Bo Nix, who has not had the best sophomore season. That sophomore slump is real for him this year. But hey, they keep winning these one-score games. It was a tough division matchup against the Raiders, even though the Raiders have not played up to their expectations. Everybody kind of put not big expectations, but potential playoff aspiration before the season started. I know I did. They were one of my jump teams, as well as the Carolina Panthers, which, hey, you know, I'll take one out of two being right on that one in the preseason. But yeah, Bo Nix, just he struggled all year. Now, one of those picks were not his fault. The receiver's got to catch the ball. It bounced right off of him and gave the Raiders a chance to kind of tie or take the lead. But just, I don't know. This game was not a fun watch. A lot of penalties really wiping away big plays. And then you also had them. They're just the start of a drive when you get a penalty. It just kills any chance and any momentum to try and gain. When it happens on the first play of the drive, second play of the drive, and then there were a lot of sacks that killed drives for both teams. So it was just a ugly AFC West defensive battle the whole time, and it wasn't a fun watch. So I'm not really going to get into it, but I just wanted to highlight Bo Nix really struggling. And when it comes to playoff time, he's going to have to clean it up. He's going to have to really be precise, and he's got to be a lot better. You just can't rely on the defense the whole way through. Now, I say that, but when Peyton Manning won that Super Bowl over there, it was all the defense, and he was just kind of being dragged along. Now, Bo Nix being a lot younger, not even close to hitting his prime in this league yet. He's still got a couple years for that, so it's a good sign when you're winning these games and winning them ugly when your quarterback play is below league average. So Sean Payton really has this franchise turned around after a couple slump years. And even with the injuries on the defense, they're looking great. And that Nick Bonito, man, he is a dog out there on that defensive line for them. I think they have, what, three guys with five-plus sacks in the league. They had another five-plus sack night on Thursday, which they lead the league in five-plus sack games. What did they end at? They ended at, I'm trying to check it real quick. Should have probably did that. But, yeah, six sacks on Geno Smith. So, and then Kenny Pickett came in for a play, which was interesting. I thought Geno was hurt, but Geno ended up coming back in. But, yeah, that was kind of the Thursday night recap. Not much to look into when you got a really bad team who's now 2-7 against an 8-2 team, 5-0 at home, division leader of the Broncos, who have a big matchup next week. This is why that number, I think they were 8.5 favorites coming into the game. That's why that number, 9.5, I'm sorry. I didn't like that number when you have a look-ahead match against another division team in the Chiefs, which, you know, Chiefs have kind of ran this division. So this is the opportunity for Denver to snatch it and potentially get a number one seed. So, and Chiefs coming off that Bills loss last week. Denver in a very good spot. They control their destiny at this point in that division. They really can't fumble it away, but Bo Nix, if they want to kind of take it and run away with it, he's, like I said, is going to have to play a lot better. Moving on, we got the trade deadline madness. Like I said, rapidly going to just go through the biggest trades, in my opinion, in probably the biggest ones that everybody's talking about, is Quinnen Williams to Dallas. Sauce Gardner to Indy. The Jets getting three first-round picks out of, you know, total out of both of those trades. And I think for Dallas, they're setting up for the future. At least that's what Jerry Jones said. And rightfully so, right? Now, they did give away one of those first-round picks that they got in the Parsons trade. But I think the Jets now have, like, what is it, 5 or 6 or 7 first-round picks next season. So they're lined up in a good spot. And Sauce Gardner, now Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner have not looked that great this year. Really Sauce Gardner the last year and a half, 2 years, since his, you know, rookie of the year campaign when he just looked lights out. Bless me, excuse me. So yeah, we'll see. But, you know, sometimes change of scenery. Now, it may take both of these guys the rest of the season to adjust to their new franchises and kind of get back to being elite defenders. Now, Sauce Gardner probably going to be asked to get back to that rookie Sauce a little bit quicker, just because Indy is really going for it, really going to, trying to make it to the Super Bowl with the way they've started. They did drop a game last week against the Steelers. Really wasn't close. You know, the Steelers, another 5-plus turnover game forced, you know. So Indy kind of tried to make it interesting at the end, but that game wasn't as close as the score. But I think that the Colts trying to take advantage of this really good Daniel Jones year, you got to do it, right? You really have to do it because you're 7-2. You're looking like a runaway in that division and have played really well every week. You know, didn't really have a bad week until last week. So a lot of it, I don't even blame Daniel Jones for. He had some bad, you know, a bad fumble, which Watt is just the king of sack fumbles. But I love the fact that they're going to try and go for it. And getting a corner like Sauce Gardner at that age, who I believe he just signed a contract, is huge. And then for Dallas, like I said, building for the future, you got Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark on that D-line in the middle. At D-tackle, that's nobody's going to run on them. I don't really see these big gashes that they've been giving up on the ground really sustaining, because Arizona was able to run the ball on Dallas, and I think Quinnen Williams really helps that, and he's a young player as well. So they're really getting that defense set up for the future, and I like that for Dallas. I don't like Dallas, but I like that for them. And then I think Rashid Shaheed to Seattle. Now, that Seattle receiving room is pretty banged up. They rely heavily on JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and I think getting Shaheed a deep threat, another deep threat, because we've seen JSN go deep and break defenses in the secondary. And they, like I said, a really beat up, banged up wide receiver room. Cooper Kupp might not be back for a while. So getting him, and he seems to always be 20 yards downfield open against a lot of defenses. So it's going to be really hard for teams to double JSN now, because Rashid Shaheed in open space, and then he's also going to help them in the return game potentially. It sucks. In the fucking Niners division, and the Seattle team got better at the trade deadline, and they were my pick and still are my pick to win that division, even though the Rams look just as hot. I like what Seattle's doing over there. It pains me to say it, but they are a force to be reckoned with, and they, again, looked dominant last week against the Commanders. The game was not close at all, and they ran away with it. And JSN, I mean, he's out-receiving his whole entire team. I think nobody, or the rest of the team combined, is barely over 200-something yards, and he's the top receiver in the league right now as far as yardage goes. He's just looked unbelievable all year round, and now he gets help on the other side. And a deep threat in Rashid Shaheed. So, yeah, the Seattle, great move. I think that one was kind of outshined by the Jets trading both of their star young defensive players. Moving on, Bears. Now, last week, going into that game against Cincy, I said I wanted to see Caleb control the ball better. I told you that the Bengals, as a defense, were giving up 60% completion percentage to quarterbacks. That's damn near 70%. You know, you're throwing the ball 10 times, they're completing about 7 passes. That's an outrageous number, and I wanted to see Caleb hit that to show me that he is actually playing well, because I feel like it's a lot of fool's gold to Bears fans because they're winning that they think that he's playing well. It really isn't him. It is Ben Johnson having this team ready and that defense playing lights out. Now, the defense did not play lights out this past week. This defense struggled against Joe Flacco and that Bengals offense to stop him and almost blew one when they... You know, the biggest turning point clearly was that pick six that got called back by Tremaine Edmonds, because that right there would have, I believe, made it the 3-score game, and they get stopped, touchdown, onside kick, touchdown, and it looked like the Bears were about to blow one in epic proportions, but Colson Loveland bailed out the Bears with that 58-yard touchdown reception. And if you take that 50-yarder out, this is what Caleb's stat line would have looked like. 19 for 33 for 222, which was setting up to be the second lowest yards against the Bengals. And the only lowest would have been Carson Wentz. In that blowout win, he had 173 that day, but he at least completed 70% of his throws, and he only threw 20 times. So 20 times for 173... when they won by, you know, a huge margin. It was like over 20 points or whatever, because that they had a couple of special teams and defenses touchdowns. So that's not good. You want to know what he finished with? 20 for 34. And yeah, he had 280 because of that touchdown. But he completed 59% of his passes. Like, he is still inaccurate. He's still erratic. He does not hang in the pocket. I mean, I lost count on how many times he's spinning out of the pocket because he's feeling pressure and it collapsed, and he's running around trying to make a play off script. You know, it it is frustrating that he missed Colson Loveland on a touchdown pass running wide open because he does not let the play develop in the pocket and trust. Yes, it's going to break down, but move around. Like, you got to start manipulating the pocket and not just breaking out to the outside to find a pass, because, you know, it worked for him in college, but he's just not that accurate on the run. He just isn't. You know, he does make a couple big plays moving around with his feet, but it's not on a consistent basis as much and, you know, as often as he does it. And I thought the star of the day, no doubt, was rookie running back. You know, DeAndre Swift was out, and I'm going to say this wrong, Menange, 176 rushing yards. The Bengals could not stop the run at all. And they even had another guy, Britton, break one for a touchdown, a long touchdown. So it really was this running game that kept this team, you know, getting big chunk plays and setting them up for touchdowns. And Loveland, yes, finally, you know, had his breakout game, which I kind of had a little predictor on that one in the group chats. But I just think Caleb has not fully impressed me, and I was high on him last year. I thought he was going to do it by midway through the season. Now, Ben Johnson, I'm loving what he's doing over there in Chicago. He is the truth. He is going to be the reason this team gets to a consistent basis here with winning, and I love it. You got to beat the bad teams, and hey, they've been beating the bad teams. Now, defensively, hopefully it was just an off game for the Bears. But, yeah, I mean, giving up 42 points to Joe Flacco. Flacco threw for 470 on this defense. T. Higgins had over 100 yards. Chase had over 100 yards. So there's some things you got to tie up on the back end. But love to see what Loveland did. And they're catching a Giants team. At the right time, I told you, this is probably, you know, after that Denver comeback loss, it's probably going to be that loss is going to derail the whole entire momentum they had in the season. They're just going to start blowing games, and they did. They lost by 18 against Philly the week after, and then they were down 27-10 to the Niners in the fourth quarter, and of course, a couple late touchdowns that made the box score look like the game was closer than it was, but it really wasn't. And I do think the Bears are going to have another good game on the ground. We'll see how Caleb does through the air. The Bears are at home. I do have the Bears winning this one 31-17, but I don't know, man. I need to see a little bit more out of Caleb. I just want to see accuracy. I just want to see him hitting guys and being a little more controlled. And I still have not seen that. But that's my pick for that game. Moving on. Not my home team, but my favorite team. San Francisco 49ers versus the Rams. Catching the Rams hot. Now, the Rams haven't dropped a game the last three after that Thursday night football loss to the Niners. But here we are. Another week. Another new addition to the IR for the Niners, rookie Michael Williams, tore his ACL, out for the season. So not only is he going to miss the rest of the year, he's going to miss a huge chunk of next year in going into his second year. So that's a huge loss, especially with it's the IR on the defense this year. The defense is taking massive, massive blows. And yet here they are, 6-3. I will say it week in and week out after a new injury and after a win. Kyle Shanahan coaching his ass off, scheming his ass off. Robert Saleh, welcome back, coaching his ass off on the defense. I mean, it's quite telling, right? Coming from the Jets, who had all that young talent on the defense. And granted, I will say, the Jets defense, when Saleh was there, was playing really well. It's just, it was a little, it's a toxic franchise. And you continue to see that now this year with the Jets. But coming over with all these injuries, he's, I mean, fuck. Yes, they gave up 24 points, but they gave up 10 in the first three quarters, and I really don't count garbage time when it's a big blowout like that. The Niners still won by 10, so he's got this team playing right, and it's good to have him back to go up against McVay. But on the offensive side of things in the, for the Niners, still no Pearsall. And Purdy, even if active, Mac Jones will get the start, which I'm all for. I mean, Mac Jones was damn near perfect the entire game last week against the Giants. I think he started like 14 for 14 or 12 for 12, something like that. Nuts. This guy has really earned his way into the starting role. And I will keep also saying this week after week, just let Purdy heal 100%. Let Mac Jones take over control of this offense. Now, Rams were 8.5-point favorites the last time on Thursday night. They're 4.5. I still kind of think that number's a little too big. And that is just the history with Shanahan versus McVay. Now, Shanahan, the record, putting this in perspective against McVay, is 11-7. Now, you may think, with just going off memory, that it's way more lopsided than that. He is 3-0 with McCaffrey in the lineup against McVay, which is kind of huge. But here's, I'm going to slim down this sample or this size a little more, okay? Because last year, take that year out, they finished 6-10 and lost both times to the Rams. And then you go back to 2023, week 18, they play the Rams, and guess what? They sat their starters. So taking three losses from Shanahan out of that equation, they're 11-4. And obviously the biggest one was losing the playoffs that year where the Rams won the Super Bowl. But that's since 2017 when both these coaches took over the teams, right? So 11-4 is a very good record. Very good record, okay? That helps the chances for the Niners. And the Niners are at home, which is another plus. So 4.5, it just seems like a big number. But the Rams are coming in hot. Like I said, they haven't lost a game since dropping that Thursday nighter in overtime to the Niners. Now, McVay, for some reason, it's just if the games are close, his coaching decisions are just head-scratchers. And I will go back to that overtime loss against the Niners on Thursday night. Why are you running the ball right up the middle? The Niners are ready for it. I thought they were going to do a little flare route out to the running back. I thought they were just going to get Puka in motion, running across, you know, like a jet motion, and then just going to the flat. They needed 1 yard, and Puka Nacua is assuring for 1 yard with that kind of, you know, route. So I hate to say it, I kind of like the Rams in this one, and they'll probably be 7-2, but it's kind of interesting here. I think it is going to be a close one. But both of these teams, I mean, this division's going to look different after next week because Seattle and Arizona play this week. Rams, Niners play this week. Then next week, Seattle and Rams, Niners and Arizona. Now, this NFC West has looked very good. One of the best records as a division in football. I mean, you just, even Arizona, right, at 3-5. Now, the NFC North definitely is the best division in football with nobody below 500. But when you got the top three teams, 6-2, 6-2, 6-3, and then Arizona, who has been playing some good teams close. I mean, it took the Colts to come back and beat them. It took Green Bay to come back and beat them. And Tennessee is probably the ugliest loss they have because they also had the lead there. So, which was kind of surprising. Dallas could not come back and beat Arizona. They have like one of the worst fourth quarter differentials on the year as far as points given up. So, like I said, I do hate to say it. I think the Rams are going to edge this one out. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm very wrong just given the history of these two teams. But I think this one will probably be Rams 20, Niners 17. But we'll see. If it comes down to a final drive, will McVay make the play call to get it done this time. And that will remain to be seen. Moving on to the games to watch. Now, I kind of mentioned it earlier. It's going to be a quick little run through. My three, I just talked about this team, Arizona at Seattle. Arizona naming Brissett the starter, putting Kyler on IR. Now, there's a lot of speculation on what's going to happen with Kyler. They could trade him by the end of the year, or not the end of the year, but before the new year, the fifth day after the new year, new league year starts in March, they will have to either trade him or release him before they're stuck with like 19.5 mil of dead cap for Kyler that they're going to have to pay him. So Arizona coming in, playing very well against teams, coming off that Monday night victory against the Dallas Cowboys, which, hey, a little win on the debt-free pick three on that one. Seattle's just been playing really well, but they're coming off that Monday night or that blowout win against the Commanders last week. So I do still like Seattle in this spot, but Seattle's going up against Rams next week, so this could be a very... This one could be closer than probably expected. They're 6.5-point favorites against Arizona. But I, like I said, if Shahid, who's very familiar with Kubiak, calling the plays there for Seattle, or is it Kubiak? Whoever the offensive coordinator was with him with the Saints. I think it is Kubiak. But anyway, they're familiar, so he might be able to jump into this offense quickly and make an impact quickly. So I think that'll be a good game, and we'll see Darnold continue the success. I really love that Darnold story. It sucks that he's in Seattle in the division of the Niners, but man, just that turnaround he's been able to do since playing with the Niners is really something to see, and he's still young for a quarterback, which is awesome. I just hope he ends up leaving and gets a big deal somewhere else that isn't in the NFC West. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Chargers. Steelers, huge win last week against the Colts. It was very big upset potential there. And they're looking good with Rodgers. So this is a dangerous game for the Chargers who, you know, were on the losing side of my debt-free pick three last week. Granted, they won and beat Tennessee by 7. They were 9.5-point favorites, so and just missed by a field goal. But listen, Chargers putting Joe Alt out for the season. They trade for an offensive lineman from New Orleans. It's just, I don't know. If this Pittsburgh defense is going to play like they did last week and like they had been for a good stretch in the beginning of the season, after week one, it's going to be tough for the Chargers to get a win on that this week. I don't like them in the spot. I do kind of like Pittsburgh to go on the road in L.A., which it does seem like a lot of Pittsburgh fans turn up in L.A. That's going to be a good Sunday night game regardless. We'll just see if the Pittsburgh secondary can put a cap on or put a lid on this Chargers offense in the passing attack. Because if one weakness is Pittsburgh's secondary in giving up a lot of passing yards and Herbert playing as well as he has, even with the injuries to the offensive line, it could be a dangerous matchup. And Chargers are only 2.5-point favorites. But a lot of Pittsburgh fans do come out to show out in L.A. So we'll see that how that one ends up. And then finally, Monday Night Football, Philadelphia at Green Bay. Green Bay dropping one. Now listen, a lot of people are going to think it's a bad loss to the Panthers, but Panthers are frisky this year. I liked them a lot coming into the year. And the only thing with Green Bay is that's going to look, with the strength of schedule, like a bad loss. Same as the Cleveland one and same to that tie to Dallas. So when you play quote-unquote bad teams, you're supposed to beat them, and Green Bay has kind of struggled. So my Super Bowl pick for the NFC is not looking too great, But, I mean, there's a part of me that just thinks it's going to be Philly and Kansas City again, or Philly and Buffalo, because, I don't know, 2025 seems to be like the year everybody gets over the hump. And we saw that with Rory getting over the hump in the Masters. And NBA, the OKC Thunder, they finally got over that hump, even though, they were kind of picked before the season to get there and win it. But it's just everybody takes that step. So could this be Buffalo's year? I don't know. But Philly and Green Bay, Philly coming off a bye. Green Bay kind of not looking like the Green Bay offense that with all the talent. Now, Christian Watson being back has been huge. I do like that. Gives them another weapon to go against this Philly team. But Philly, I mean, they steady make moves. And steady make moves for that defense. So I think this is just a tough spot for Green Bay. They're favored 1.5 at home. I like Philly in this match to kind of squeak out a win. Close. I think it's going to be a close game. But I just, Philly, they just find a way to win close games. And I think they'll get it done. But those are the games to watch. Couple honorable mentions, Atlanta versus Indy, just because it's in Germany. We got Baltimore and Minnesota. That should be a good one there in Minnesota. And then Jacksonville and Houston division matchup, where both of these teams are kind of hanging on by a thread as far as injury-wise. But those are a couple honorable mentions. But those were the games to watch. Let's get to the picks that matter.
We don't do anything illegal.
Debt-free pick three.
Look what I found in my pocket. Look. A year's salary right here. What I call them? A fun coupon.
This is the Debt-Free Pick 3.
On the final play.
With Mikey Clutch.
That's right. Debt-Free Pick 3. Going to go through these games pretty quick. It's a wonky show. Got a lot going on today. Kind of have to throw this one out and get it to the people. Get it to the people. So they got enough time to look over and win some money this weekend. We've been hot this year. Last week, 2-1. We had Denver win outright by a field goal, plus 2.5 at Houston. We had the Chargers, like I mentioned earlier, minus 9.5, lost to Tennessee. Or they beat Tennessee, but lost, didn't cover. And then Arizona won outright, plus 3.5 on the road in Dallas on that Monday night game. So this week, couple dogs. We are 18-9 on the year. Huge number, 18-9. So I'm going to go with Washington, plus 7.5 at home versus Detroit. Now, I know Marcus Mariota is going to be starting because last week, Jaden Daniels, probably in the game too long, dislocated elbow. I just think right here, it's a big number, even for that. They were blown out, humiliated on primetime TV. Detroit, yes, playing very well. I do think Detroit's going to win this one. Just, you know, you lose that division game against Minnesota last week and had opportunities to win it. I just think the 7.5 is too big of a number. The hook, that's why I kind of like the hook here. So I'm going to take, you know, Detroit to win 28-21, right at that 7.5, but they're going to Washington will cover. And then Baltimore, minus 4.5 on the road at Minnesota. I just think Minnesota is going to be feeling good after that big division win against Detroit. Baltimore keeping this hot streak going. I think it's that Lamar coming back, being second game removed from missing some time. And, yeah, I think they're going to be able to control the game on the ground. Get Henry going again. He had over 100 yards. Now, a lot of that came from one big chunk play, and he was kind of looking like he wasn't even going to eclipse 80 or 70 at that point. But I just like this spot for Baltimore being on the road. Have to kind of grind these last few, the last half of the season out to try and touch the playoffs after a horrific start to the season. So could they go 4-5? I believe so. So I got this one, Baltimore 24, Minnesota 16. And then my final one, Philadelphia on the road, plus 1.5 in Green Bay. Monday Night Football coming off the bye. Green Bay. Now, this is the one where I'm least confident in. And usually those are the ones that have won, given the outcomes of a lot of games this year where I haven't felt that confident. But this kind of does feel like a good spot for Green Bay. And Philly does play Detroit next week as well. So could it be a look-ahead again? I don't think so, because Green Bay's too good to look ahead of. Now, maybe Detroit looking ahead to Philly is why that Washington number looks pretty good. But for the Philadelphia Eagles, I just think if it's a close game and Vegas thinks it's going to be a close one, Philly is going to edge Green Bay out. And I just, we'll see. This has potential to be a defensive game. Over-under is 46.5. But I like Philly in this to win. I will say 27-24 on the road. So that's going to do it for the debt-free pick three. We got Washington plus 7.5 versus Detroit, sorry. Baltimore minus 4.5 on the road in Minnesota. And then Philadelphia plus 1.5 on the road in Green Bay. Monday Night Football. Those are the picks. Let's make some more money. Week 10 underway. Love you. God bless.